We're doing Chazanish, Emuna u'Bitachon. We're up to the sixth section of the second chapter. The Chazanish have been discussing the concept of Bitachon, being a person's capacity at a time where danger is lurking, where he is worried about his future, at that time to connect to the concepts of Emuna, the concepts that God can make things work out right. And that's how he defined bitachon. The Chazanish discussed that bitachon is something to be developed from within. And when a person externalizes it and spends a lot of time talking about it, they're not necessarily in possession of that trait. But on the contrary, it's very likely that they have a counterfeit form of bitachon. True bitachon is developed from within. It is that confidence which does not have to be externalized. On the contrary, it gives a person a certain serenity that is internal. And now the Chazanish continues and says, "Im ki ikarei bitachon mechovat alev," although bitachon begins and is primarily within the heart, "umistafim imenu mitzvot ma'asiyot," and there are branches of bitachon. It stems into the active mitzvot. "Bechova shel meni'a mipeulot neged chavero," we firstly have prohibitions. You cannot do things against your friend. You have to be limited in your competitive practices. The guy wants to open a store next to you. You burn his store down. So, no, God's going to take care of you. Don't worry, you're not going to die. You're not going to die of hunger. The halachos we'll discuss a different time, but so the Chazanish says the idea of bitachon begins in the heart. Recognize that God's running the world. You don't have to go into panic mode and go crazy. Yesh beze gam gedarim bepulot shel hishtadlut hamutarot. Bitachon also has pertinence with regard to the way we behave, our hishtadlut, in the realm that is permitted. Meaning there's a whole realm of actions which is permitted, and the question is, how far do you take things? So let's take a simple example. You're dating a girl, you want to get married. So you hear that there are diseases that are prevalent with Ashkenazi Jewry. So you say, let's get genetically tested to ensure we are not both carriers of Tay-Sachs. Okay. But how far do you take that genetic testing? I mean, you could test for 5 diseases, you could test for 20 diseases, you could test for 500 diseases, and you could test for 50,000 diseases. How far do you take that? So we have questions of how far we take our hishtadlut. It's a question we live with on a daily basis. Should a person be screened for heart disease, for cancer? How often do you get screened? I personally go to a skin doctor almost yearly, because I have freckles, and I never know when freckles become dangerous. So I want them to look and see. I do go because I know that people who have light-colored skin are more prone to certain issues with their skin. And so I try to go. I think that's within a realm that makes sense. I try to wear a cap or a hat to protect my balding head from the sun, because light-skinned people are more prone to getting burnt, and then that evolves, unfortunately. So the question is, how far, you know, where do you draw the line? "V'lifamim ha-bitachon mitnaged le-ishtadlut v'oser emtzei miyuchadim." And sometimes if you have real bitachon, then you wouldn't be so worried, you wouldn't take every possible action to protect yourself. There are limits. Do I buy life insurance? Do I buy medical insurance? Do I buy that medical prime? Do I buy that medical prime that covers every far-out type of medication a person might need? How far do I have to be worried in life? That's a real question. We face that question all the time. We are responsible to think our actions through before we do them. Is it within the realm of the bitachon I'm supposed to have? We understand that going too far is a reflection of a person that does not have bitachon. There comes a point where you say, that's it, you've crossed the line. Where is that line? Is it okay for me to live in a settlement? Is it okay for me to live in the most dangerous settlement?
Is
it okay to live there without a fence? Is it okay to travel down a street that they ordinarily throw rocks on? Is it okay for me to go through Shaar Shechem, where once a year or once every 2 years a person gets stabbed? Is that prevalent enough, or is that, where do you draw the line? When does it become dangerous? When do you say, if I have bitachon, I don't worry about that? Right? We have to define that. V'chazal amru b'midrash Rabbah mikitz, ki ishtadlutu shel Yosef HaTzadik levakesh misar mashkim v'izkartani. Our sages teach us in the Medrash on Parshas Mikitz that the fact that Yosef HaTzadik took that step and asked the butler, do me a favor, remember me, and mention me to Pharaoh, our sages say he shouldn't have done that. On his level of bitachon, he should not have asked the butler to mention him. Wait a second, why not?
He should
have asked.
It depends on Hashem.
So that's the question. Our sages say, praised is he who puts his faith in God. That is Yosef. Yosef had his faith in God. Our sages say that Yosef had a tremendous level of bitachon, but he made a slight error in turning to the butler, and that's why he ended up sitting in jail another 2 years. Yosef knew all along. It depends on when God wants him out of jail. אבל ביות שנתחייב אדם בפעולות ולא לסמוך על ניסה, חייב יוסף את עצמו לשמש בהזדמנות זו ולבקש מסר המשקים. Yosef said, I'm not supposed to sit here in jail and assume a miracle will get me out of jail. If I have a way to get out, then I should use that venue. So Yosef did something that was correct. Yosef said, I have an opportunity, I have someone who has the king's ear, and I'll mention my plight to him. And in that, seems logical. ואומנם ביות שלפי תכונת הרעבים אין בטיבו לזכור ולהיטיב, אין ראוי המעשה רק מתוך יוש. Why was this held against Yosef? Because Yosef was grasping at a straw. Yosef saw he was dealing with someone who was exceptionally arrogant. Okay, maybe we should take a minute to understand the butler's arrogance. Yes?
Does the fact that Yosef was in jail for 10 years make a difference?
It makes a difference. Let's address that in 1 minute. Over here, I want to add just a brief explanation, because otherwise I don't think we can understand Chazon Ish. I just try to be true to the work. So the explanation I'm adding is based on other commentaries and Midrashim. It isn't written in the Chazon Ish. I think this is what the Chazon Ish is alluding to, and I think to him it was obvious, so he didn't bother explaining it. But I'm just, for the sake of intellectual honesty, what I'm about to say is not in the Chazon Ish. It's what I think the Chazon Ish means to say. Yes, Lucas?
Aren't there a lot of rabbis, like in that book, which is called Enna Bim Smicha, the book about, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Aren't there a lot of rabbis that say we have to work and do our own actions for the redemption, that God's not just going to magically give it to us?
Okay.
Wouldn't that go against, like what you just said with Yosef, when he told the guy who has sparrow's ears, he told him.
We didn't say Yosef was wrong yet. We're trying to understand Yosef. Let's hear him out. So I'm saying that's what he's going to tackle now. So Chazal tell us that when the butler and the baker had their dreams, each one also dreamt the interpretation of the other one's dreams. So the baker is sitting there and he's all upset. He had a dream and he doesn't know what his dream means. And the butler is sitting right next to him. They were both thrown into jail together. They both messed up together. And each one has a dream on the same night. And each one knows the other's interpretation. But neither one is telling.
Like, do they know that the other person...
No. The baker knows the answer to the butler's quandary, but he's not saying a word. The butler knows the answer to the baker's quandary, and he's not saying a word. So they're both sitting there, and they're both fuming, and each one can help the other one, and doesn't realize that the other one can help him in kind, but neither one says a word. They're sitting there very upset, and Yosef walks in and sees them and says, why are you guys upset? So the butler looks at him and doesn't answer him. The Torah points out that the baker answered him. So the butler, even though he's in jail, he's still looking down at this Hebrew boy And he doesn't answer. Just a second, I got it backwards. Give me 1 second. Let me look in the Chumash. It's the other way around. I got it backwards. Give me 1 second. I'm pretty sure I got it backwards. It's the other way around. The baker didn't answer him. So the baker sits there and doesn't say a word. And it's only after he hears the interpretation that Yosef gives the butler that the baker knows that interpretation's right, because he dreamt the answer. And that's what it says, Vayal Sarahofim Kitov Patar. And then the baker comes forth and gives his dream. And then Yosef interprets it, and the butler knows that he got it right. So each one waited it out, neither one would help the other. The butler knows that Yosef's interpretation for the baker was true. And the butler himself, when he gets freed, he's not interested. And Chazal say that it wasn't only that he wasn't interested in Yosef, he purposely put Yosef out of his mind. And then 2 years later, after Yosef's been sitting in jail for 2 years, when it actually comes time to approach Pharaoh, he comes in and starts berating Yosef. He comes in and starts telling him that was a lad, he's a Hebrew, he was a slave, he's putting down Yosef. The Chazon Ish seems to be learning that Yosef already saw all these traits in the butler. The Medrash says, praised is a person who has faith in Hashem and does not turn to arrogant people. And the Medrash says, who are these arrogant people? That's talking about the butler. Chazal tell us that any dream can go both ways. A dream can be a good dream or a bad dream. It all depends on the interpretation. So that's why the baker, only after he hears Yosef interpreting the butler's dream for good, interpreting for him the dream that he will live, and in 3 days he'll be reinstated in his post, that's when the baker says, oh, Vayal Sar Haofim Kitov Patar. The baker sees, oh, you gave him a good interpretation, so I'll tell you my dream. Yosef sees the baker's arrogance, and he gives him a bad interpretation. I'm sorry, in 3 days you're going to hang. It comes true. But the butler and the baker both knew that a dream goes after the interpretation. So the butler knew that he owes Yosef for giving him a good interpretation, and his interpretation came true. The butler knows all of this, and he walks out of jail. Not only does he put Yosef out of his mind for 2 years, it keeps gnawing at him, and he says, no, I'm not dealing, I'm not helping him. But when it comes time that he actually is in a corner where Pharaoh makes a decree, anyone who could help me resolve my dream and doesn't will get killed, so then he has to come to Pharaoh and talk. He does everything he can to hurt Yosef. Says the Chazon Ish, that's why the Midrash says, praised is a person who puts his faith in God and doesn't turn to arrogant people. Because Yosef should have seen, there's no chance that this guy's going to help me, and Yosef did see that. The fact that Yosef asked him for help was out of desperation. So Benny asks, but he was desperate. He spent 10 years in jail. Yeah, you know, you do get desperate after 10 years in jail. And the answer is, we see throughout Yosef's life that he was on a tremendous level of bitachon. Even the Midrash says he had bitachon. So he wasn't broken. He could have said, there's no point in asking him. Asking him is grasping at a straw. It's saying God's not involved. Because if God's involved, then the chances of my getting out with his help or without his help are equal. Sometimes in life, you have that. I hope you haven't had this experience, but most of us have. when you come to counter and the person behind the counter suddenly makes your life really difficult over nothing, and they're hanging on to like small nuances of bureaucracy, and they say, look, I'm really sorry, I can't help you. And you look at them and you say, you're not sorry, and you could help me. You might not say it, but you think it. So, huh?
Where do the kids go to school?
But there are situations where there isn't a chance the person's going to help you. What do you do? So, sometimes a person grasps at straws. When a person grasps at straws, what he's really saying is, God's not involved in this story. My only hope is this straw, so I might as well grasp at it. I got nothing else to grasp for. Says the Chazon Ish, v'ham yu'ash. Again, I'm sorry. V'omnam biyot shelefi tchunat aravim en betivo lizko v'leitiv. When one meets an arrogant person, their nature does not allow them to remember someone else or to do good for that someone else. And ra'uy ma'aseh hazeh rak mitoch yush. The only reason someone as brilliant as Yosef would turn to such a person would be if he's completely, how do you translate yush? Forlorn?
I don't know. How do you spell
it? Yush.
Despair.
Despair. That's the word. If he's in complete despair. A person who's in despair will do anything he can, even if it's pretty far-fetched that anything will come of it. Out of despair, a person's willing to do anything. But a person who has bitachon, there's no room to have despair and then grasp at straws. Then pulazo mepulot achova. And that's not an action that's incumbent upon a person. Yosef has to do everything logical to get himself out of jail. But so long as it's within the realm of logic. Not to do anything that includes acts of despair. V'yesh b'maaseh hazeh ken zrikat even el zohar emunah v'bitachon. In this action, it's the equivalent of throwing a rock at the concept of emunah u'bitachon. That action was the equivalent of saying, God's obviously not getting me out of here, so I'm going to try anything. Wait a second. So then God's not in the picture anymore. So if this is an action that's not incumbent, then this is an action that really he wasn't allowed to do. V'kavanat chazal al ha'pula v'lo al midat ha'bitachon shel Yosef chalila. V'yada Yosef she'en ezer mi ben adam bilti miyad Hashem levad. אבל מה שחייב עצמו לשאול משר המשקים לא היה לפי קבלת חזל דין אמת, אלא לא היה לו לפנות אל רעבים. So here he says, he adds a nice little twist, he says, Yosef's action was wrong. Because you see, Chazal say Yosef did have bitachon, but he still misjudged, he still allowed himself to have that amount of despair to do an action. So even though Yosef, on one level, he knew the only one who could help him was Hashem, but on the other hand, he did an action that sort of indicated the other way. I don't know why the Chazon Ish is insistent that in Yosef's bitachon, he was fine. Maybe because the Midrash says that he did have bitachon. That the Chazon Ish wants to sever, he wants to say the action reflected a lack of bitachon, even though deep down inside, he had it. So, obviously, this is a very high level. But the Chazon Ish at least makes the case more palatable. Where the Chazon Ish says, logically, Yosef knew nothing was going to come from this butler because he saw how arrogant the butler was. And we see the arrogance. We see that even when he was cornered, he did everything to hurt Yosef and not help him. So in that sense, the Chazon Ish at least makes it more palatable what that Chazal holded against Yosef that he asked the butler. So that, again, to sum up what we saw today, and this brings us to the conclusion of the second chapter. We have one small sentence. The Chazon Ish says, although bitachon is focused on the heart, bitachon affects our actions. There are actions that reflect a total lack of bitachon. The Chazon Ish said, why was Yosef's action a reflection of lack of bitachon? Because the butler was obviously not going to help him. So it was the equivalent of grasping at straws. He saw that the butler was not someone who would really be interested in helping him, and yet his action reflected a tremendous lack of bitachon because it reflected grasping at straws. What the Chazon Ish is saying in Lithuanian terms is what Chassidut says in Chassidut terms, "En yiyush ba'olam klal." Right? You guys know Rav Nachman Mibreslov's line. There's no room for despair. If there's God in the world, so there's no room for despair. So the Chazon Ish didn't use Rav Nachman Mibreslov's words, but he said the same idea.